This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This was a little bit of a different week for me. It was another week for me. It was a week what I've never had before. And you can show the first picture. We've got in our local newspaper, this is Dutch, which is a week of the mayor of the town, what he's explaining, what he's doing, what he has been done, what he did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, of how many days he's working, morning, evening, and so on, so that people can see what kept them busy, where are they paying for, and what are they doing. And this week was one of those weeks, as I was busy, I got the pictures together, the seven pieces, the 7 days of the different days, and I put them together, and then I could see, okay, this is what the Lord wants me that I should share with you today. And then this report came up, and then I made a copy of it yesterday, and there you can see. So this is how the guy is reporting on a weekly basis to the people in Seist of what he's doing and where he's keeping him busy with. I'm going to start with Sunday, and I'm going to go day by day, and then you will see what actually happened, what I experienced this week. And I trust that you're going to link up somewhere, that you say, okay, now you understand it. Last week, Sunday, I had a privilege to do the kiddies church. So I had the kids up there, and I could do, with the kiddies, I could do the breakfast by the sea, where Jesus was standing at the shore over there. The disciples were fishing because Peter decided, I'm going fishing. And he said, I'm going fishing. The others went along. They went into the boat and they tried to get fish. And then Jesus was standing there, and then Jesus asked, and he said, children, have you got any food? They couldn't recognize him, but he asked, he said, children. So there he already, I should say, showed the relationship that he had with them. And he said, children, have you got any food? And they said, sorry, nothing. We didn't catch anything. They've been catching the whole night, and they didn't catch anything over there. And then this stranger says, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find some. And then they put the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and they catched 153 fishes. They tried to figure out that number, if the number has got any, but apparently they cannot figure it out why it is 153, or if it's maybe a writing error or whatever the case may be, it's 153. And then they realized that it was Jesus, and then Peter jumped into the water and he went to Jesus. And then when he came to Jesus, Jesus already had a fire. He already had fish and he already had bread over there. Jesus didn't actually need the fish. He already had. He already could give. And that was for me reflecting again is, God can do it on his own, but God doesn't want to do it on his own. God wants to work through us. Jesus wanted to give food, but he didn't just want to give to them. He said, catch, and they brought in fish. They trusted. They trusted the word of that person, and based on that trust, they put the net in the other side. We have been singing just now as well that the trust would be put in Jesus. And then there was a second part. And the second part is that Jesus is restoring Peter. And he's asking him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And three times Peter says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then Jesus says to him, feed my lamb, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. So the three times from Peter, denial from Peter, when Jesus was arrested, Jesus is asking now to nearly counteract it, to nullify it by three times that he had to say, I love you, I love you, and love you. And then Jesus finishes that conversation with follow me. And I had a look at that word follow. And a follow is actually, it's got four parts in it, which is for me awesome. The first, it's a union. So which means that Peter had to become a union along with Christ. Not separated or not just following, but a union. The second, there's a road. And we all walking a road with Jesus. It's not simply just meet him and then it's finished, but we're walking continuously. There's progress. We're going somewhere to. The third thing is that we're doing it in exactly the same way. We're not doing it differently. We are copy-paste. We are duplicating what Jesus has been doing and what he wants us to do. And then the fourth is one is that we follow Jesus because we want to reach a certain point. We want to go to a certain point. That was my Sunday. And I enjoyed it with the kids. And I think the kids enjoyed it with me as well. Because we had breakfast. We had a picnic over there. So we had some fish and chips and some sweets. So if the kids had a lot of energy that evening, I'm guilty. Then the Monday. The early Monday morning, I'm always standing up early because I'm Skyping. And last Monday, it was anything around 6:30 while I started Skyping. I didn't have time to sit down, to read a Bible, to pray or anything like that. There wasn't much time. I think I stood up at anything before 6. And when I was at the computer and switched it on, I saw, okay, they're already linked in South Africa. So I started Skyping. I didn't have time. I didn't make time to spend time with God and read his word and pray. In the afternoon, I Skyped with Pastor Hercules in London, who's the senior over here. And then we had a church meeting the evening. That's the first time what we have got what we can call actually a church meeting. And we spoke about a few things which are very important. One of it is that you're going to hear of the other people also preaching now and then. It's not going to be me and Renee on our own, but it's going to be the others as well who are also going to preach a little bit more often. And on Monday as well, the 9th of July, we were here 3 years in the Netherlands from South Africa. It was 3 years what we were over here. The disciples were with Jesus for 3 years. And we've been here for 3 years. So I saw a certain synergy in that as well. That was Monday. Tuesday morning, again, I didn't find any time to set aside with God. And then during the day, I had a few things to do. But then the evening was for me quite important. And that is when we had intercession. And just having a look, it was Hazel was over there, and it was Sana was over there, and Renee, and it was Eunice, and it was Caroline, and it was Mark, and I think I've got more or less all of them. And then we interceded. And then the Lord Tuesday spoke to us and said, we've got to tell other people. We cannot keep quiet. We cannot keep quiet if we see things in the world which are not correct. And then a scripture which I got was from Ezekiel. And I just want to read it because that left with me quite a strong impression as well that we are not here to waste time. There's an urgency with it. Ezekiel 3:16-21. Now it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. So he's telling them, warn the people. And then the first warning comes. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. So if somebody is going to die who hasn't heard the gospel, the blood is on our hands. This is what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel over here. The second warning, verse 19. Yes, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from the wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. You've warned him, it's up to him. He's got to take that decision. And if he decides not to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, his blood is not going to be on your hand. And the third warning. Again, when a righteous man, a man with right understanding with God, turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. It is blood, I will require at your hand. Again, we've got to tell the people. We cannot keep quiet. We've got to give a warning to them if they do something wrong. And then the fourth one, nevertheless, if you want a righteous man, then a righteous, nevertheless, if you want a righteous man, that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took the warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. So if we warn him, and he takes note of that warning, then we won't have the blood on his hand. Wednesday, we're steadily progressing with the... But as I was busy with the week, I got the different days as pieces of the puzzle. Wednesday, we had visitors who came Tuesday evening late, anything I think around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then they left the next morning, they left around 5:45. So I stood up quite early, because we had a long evening before, chatted to them, short night. And then once they were gone, I jumped into bed again and I slept. But I didn't have quiet time with God. I didn't spend time with God. And then on Wednesday, the Pastor Summit started. On an annual basis, Shofar Church, the pastors are getting together, and they are getting together in South Africa. This year it was decided that it's going to be better that we're going to follow via Zoom or Skype or whatever you want to call it. It was Zoom what we used this week. And then we also can hear what is actually going on and where are they keeping them busy with. And yeah, so we could actually slot in and we could see it. I think it was the Hercules in London and us in the Netherlands who were the only ones who were not with the other 50, 60 pastors in South Africa. And then the first pastor who spoke over there was Philip from Shofar Pretoria. And he was asking questions what had to be discussed in the group. Now the group what we had was me and Renee. We had a very big group and very wide, different way of thinking, but over one thing we are sure about, and it's God's kingdom. And then the questions were, what moment in the ministry did you inspire you the most? What are the differences at home and in the ministry or in the pulpit? It's your backstage, which means your house, and your front stage, what we overhear at the pulpit. Is it the same or is it totally different? You can ask those who've been sleeping last night with us, are we the same or are we different? But that's the questions what they ask, because it is happening, that you hear from people that they say, what is happening at home is totally different as what a person is saying from the pulpit. Are you doing your ministry in love? Are you enjoying it? And what are the things, both inside and outside the ministry, which recreates and refreshes you the most? And are you happy with the rhythm of life? And then me and Renee started talking. We spoke about those questions. And I said, Renee, I'm not having joy in ministry. Wow. Boom. Your pastor is not having joy in ministry. What now? Renee, in her wisdom, didn't ask too much, didn't ask any deep questions, didn't open a file and to discuss it. But I felt on that Wednesday, I was not having joy in the ministry. I was not having joy in what I was doing over here. I was not having joy in being placed in the Netherlands over here for starting a church, what we did 3 years ago. I didn't have joy over there. And I thought, wow, how is that possible? But it actually was good that we were supposed to speak to each other, and it's maybe good that I wasn't there on the other side. And it was good that I wasn't speaking to Hercules either. But I still felt this is what the Lord is telling me, what I've got to share today, what I've got to share with you. So fortunately, like I said, Renee didn't ask very deep questions. It was, the pastor hasn't got any joy in the ministry at the moment. The evening we had a small group, we went to Sajjan and Ian was over there as well. And then we spoke about broken relationships. We spoke about the sermon what Renee spoke about last week, where it was if there's a broken relationship. And we specifically spoke about broken relationship inside your own family, prayed about it and things like that. Then the Thursday morning, I woke up and I had a long session with the Lord. It was a long, quiet time, if I can put it that way. But it wasn't a quiet time. At a certain time, I even screamed. I don't know if Renee has heard it or not. I said, Lord, why? Why is it that I'm feeling negative? Why is what I'm feeling down? Why do I not have joy? Because if I've got to reflect the joy to the other people, but if I haven't got it, how can I do it? Am I in the wrong place? What's going on? And I couldn't figure it out. I said, okay, Lord, because most of the time on a Tuesday morning, I asked the Lord always, okay, who's got to preach the coming Sunday? And I said, Lord, who's got to preach? And the Lord said, you've got to preach. And I said, where do I have to preach about? Because at least I thought, okay, if I know where I've got to preach about, then I can start working on it and hopefully something is going to happen that I'm maybe going to feel a little bit better. And the Lord says, wait. Okay, wait. All right. The feeling that I got is, I have got to wait. So I waited, and I waited as the day was progressing and as time was going on. And that morning and afternoon, we were sitting in front of the screen again and watching the pastor summit over there in South Africa. So it started at 9 o'clock, stopped anything at 5 o'clock with a lunch break of approximately an hour. So it's really, you're sitting and watching the one session after the other session, after the other session, what was going over there. And then in the morning session, one of the pastors, and it's the pastor out of Potchefstroom, Gili Jordan. Pastor Gili, he spoke about the six-week plan, what he did in Potchefstroom, and how he, actually what we've been reading just now from Ezekiel, what he has put into practice. How he worked in Potchefstroom over there, how the people were praying, and how the people were inviting other people. And from one Sunday, where they started with the whole process, till 2 weeks later, because they didn't have church for 2 weeks, they had church again. The church increased from number from 210 to 430. 2 weeks time. Because the people understood what had to be done. They understood, but we've got to tell other people. We've got to invite other people. We cannot keep quiet because we're going to have blood on our hands. The evening... we went to evangelize, what we're always doing on a Thursday evening, although the last few weeks we've been doing the evangelist with the Islam people, we've been doing that, but this is now the second week that we are back in the rhythm again of a Thursday evening. And we were still standing together and we were starting to pray, and here a Jewish guy, it's a Dutch Jewish guy, coming to us, and he's telling us, we are deceived, we are, how can we get believe in Jesus? Jesus is a false prophet, and so on and so on. And there we start discussing, and there we throw the one scripture after the other scripture, and he was quoting this, but he knew his Bible. He knew the Old and the New Testament, so he's done his work. And at certain times he even quoted the Mormons as well. I said, I'm not interested in them, please leave them out. And but it was interesting. But what happened over there is that we had to tell what was important for us. I had to testify what was important for me. Like in Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So I could say to him, I believe in a Jesus. I believe in a Jesus who died for me. He died. He died so that I can have eternal life. And I can say, and I could say to him, what happened in my life, you cannot take away from me. That's my testimony. And how the Holy Spirit has been working through me, nobody can take that away from me. So I was testifying to him. And I even said at a certain time, and Enoch, I'm thinking about you now. Then I said, have you ever prayed for somebody that somebody got healed? And he said, no. I said, why not? Why is the Holy Spirit not working through you? Then again, he didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit is only a power. It is not a person. So yes, we had a long discussion. It nearly took us a whole hour over there. And as we were going back in the bus, I was reminded again of that verse, which is, if we do encounter one, the verse, very first verse which is mentioned over there is Romans 10, verses 9. If you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then I realized, you know what? That Wednesday, when I fell down, the Wednesday when I was really saying, I haven't got joy I haven't got joy in being a minister, of having joy out of the ministry. It started to change. God was putting things into my life that I started to change. And the biggest change is that I had to testify what was important for me. And then I actually did my calculation. Anil would say, the accounting people will say, I did my the books, the accounting balances, and I, a balance sheet, and what is the pros and the cons, and what is the assets and the liabilities. And I've got Jesus, and that cancels everything. It's much bigger than anything else. Then the Friday morning, I had quiet time, and I could read Acts 3, where Peter and John healed the lame man. But it was Peter who was restored, because Jesus restored him at the lake over there. He restored him in a position where he said, I'm going to build my church on it. And we could see the fruit from it. We could see the fruit from Peter. Where Peter denied having any relationship with Jesus, three times he said to him, I love you. And then Peter went out. Peter was the one who had the first sermon when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were added to the church. As percentage of the amount of people in Jerusalem, I think this is the highest percentage what we will ever see in the world. It will never be as high as that. And Peter over here as well with John, they healed the lame man that he could walk again. And then after the quiet time, we had the pastor summit again. And then the pastor summit on Friday morning was about the Holy Spirit. We had a certain piece which was forwarded to us where they said, please, can you read it? And can you have a look, and just as a type of an input? And it was about the physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, or are we quenching the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit that can work through us to benefit other people, that other people can receive the fruit from the Holy Spirit working through us, or are we blocking it? And we could ask, together with the people there on the screen, there was music and there was sound as well, we could shout and we could scream, we could sing, and we could say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill me more with your Holy Spirit, that I can be filled, that I can be totally full. If you take a cup and you turn it upside down, there's nothing what you can put into it. But that we really position ourselves, that we all on a receiving side, that we can receive the Holy Spirit and that it can overflow, that a cup can overflow, that other people can benefit from it. And then I want to quote Acts 4 as well, which I read this morning. Now, Lord, looking on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were already filled with the Holy Spirit, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but they basically asked for it again. They went to the Lord again and said, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit, fill us up that we can get more, the same as what the group has been done that morning when they were together in South Africa, the same as what the people did over here. It was the chapter what I read that specific day. They were asking, and we can do exactly the same. And at a certain time on Friday, I was also sitting in front of the computer, and I had a look at the brand at the computer. It's not a Samsung, it's not an LG, it's a Philips. A Philips, now which of the Bible books is reminding you, or would you say is very close to Philips? Philippians. Philippians 4 verses 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And there was God, piece by piece, he was restoring me. He was busy with restoring me. Of what happened to me on a Wednesday, where I said, I've lost my joy. There it came back, the one thing after the other. It was just put back again into me. And it was awesome. Saturday. We still have got Saturday to go, yes. Saturday we had encounter two. We've got courses, what we call encounters, and it's an encounter with God. The first one is the very basics one, where the second one is about more the family and also what church is concerned. And then, yes, we were watching the video clips, and then Fred May, the person who started the Shofar congregation, at a certain time, he quoted a scripture. And when he was quoting that scripture, it's one of those things again, which drops down and you say, okay, all right, I'm seeing another signal again. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We are in a world which is making it difficult for us. We are in a world which is attacking us. There's an enemy who's attacking us. There's an enemy who's trying to get us on the wrong track. But we have got to be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then later in Saturday, they forwarded all the slides from what was done on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We didn't attend on Saturday because we had the encounter too. And then the first one which I opened of those slides, it had this verse on it. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fierce trial when it comes upon you to test you. As though something strange were happening to you. So we don't have to look up strange, that things are going to bother us, that we are going to have things which are going to attack us. We don't have to be afraid of this. But rejoice not in shofar, but in so far. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And then later on Saturday afternoon, because we wanted to rush a little bit, that we would be finished in time. But when we were finished, the ladies, because we had five participants, they didn't leave. They just stayed and they just had another cup of coffee or cool drink, or I don't know, because I always already was busy with the sermon. And when they left, I said, Lord, this is what's giving me joy. To see what happened that day with those five ladies who had an encounter with you, who came closer to you. That's giving me joy. That's why I'm here in the Netherlands. This is why Renee and me have been placed over here by the Lord, that people can come closer to God. It's not about us. It's not our first priority. There are other things what we would like to do. I still have got a business and I wouldn't mind to go back tomorrow. The weather at the moment is maybe better over here as on the other side. But the children are there, grandchildren are there. There are enough reasons. But if the Lord is telling us we've got to be here, then we want to be obedient. And in that obedience, that's where I got the joy out of. And then I said, my joy is back. Thank you, Lord. My joy is back. And the joy changed. It not only changed, I should say, the joy in me, that I moved from negative to positive, I can put it that way, but it also recharged me again. And it actually, from dropping a little bit, it jumped me higher now. So I'm, fortunately, I don't know, more of energy, full of energy now. Now I want to share it and I want to do more, because we cannot keep quiet. I just want to tell you a short story about a rabbi who was in Russia, approximately, they say, 100 years back. And a guy was, of course, in ministry, and he was walking with his hands in his pocket over there, and he was just wandering around in town, and at a certain time he came to a place where there was a Russian army. And then the guy shouted at him, say, who are you? And why are you here? He said, sorry? He said, who are you and why are you here? He said, how much are you earning? This is not a rabbi asking that soldier. How much are you earning? I'll pay you exactly the same. If you can ask me that question each and every day, who are you and why are you here? Who are we and why are we here? If somebody's asking you that each and every day, who are you? Then you can say, but I'm a child of the living God. And why are you here? I'm here to tell other people. That's what's so important. Right. You've seen my 7 days. You've seen where I went and what happened with me. Mark asked me, in I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, he asked me, he said, are you feeling any attacks on you, any spiritual attacks, or you maybe sleeping good, not good at night, or things like that? I said, I haven't got a problem with it. Ask my wife. I'm snoring. I can do everything what I want to do at night. I'm sleeping. I haven't got a problem with sleeping. I'm not feeling being attacked whatsoever. And then this week, when I had to preach, and when the Lord said, I've got to wait, and when he was putting that 7 pieces together, and I could see, okay, there's a story, I asked, but what's actually the message? What must I do with it? Is it maybe that I can be able now to sympathize with somebody who is in such a situation in the moment, or what is maybe going to happen in the future? Because I never actually had that type of situation that I would say, I lost my joy. I can be a little bit grumpy. You can ask Renee, you can ask maybe some of the other people as well, but just wait a little bit, give me a cup of coffee, and then I'll be happy again, and I will have joy in my life again, and then I'll carry on. Was that the reason why I had to experience it? I don't know. We lost our second child. That was in 1983, and I think it was a year or two later that my younger brother lost their firstborn. And we could stand next to their bed in the hospital, and we could say, we know how you feel. And maybe this had to happen with me this week, that with somebody of you, that I can look you in the eyes, that I can say, I know how you feel. I had exactly the same. And this is what helped me, and this is how I got out of it. And what I felt, and where I could see what was actually happening, I didn't have contact with God. I didn't have quiet time. I didn't put God first in my life. As what Yolani was saying, he was not my priority. I went to bed again. And I think if I would have opened up the Bible and if I would have prayed, the Lord would have given me enough energy for the day. No doubt about it. But I had to seek his face. I had to be with him. I had to be able to hear with him, from him, that I could communicate with him. And how I got back, the biggest thing is of repenting, going to God on my knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry about it. Sorry that I didn't open up the Bible, that I didn't spend time with you, that I wasn't seeking your face. Because that's the biggest sin what we're doing, and that is moving God out of our way and putting ourselves in it and say, but we are more important as what God is. And I learned a lesson from it. Yes. If you remember the sermon what I did the last day of last year, that I said in 2018, I want to go on my knees each and every day. And I asked you to go onto your knees, that specific sermon as well, so maybe you'll remember it then. That we humble ourselves, that we put God first, and that we can rejoice ourselves who God is in our lives. What I learned this week, that God wants to restore relationships. Jesus restored a relationship between him and Peter. And Peter has been used. He has been used tremendously in the kingdom of God. And this is what God wants to do with us as well. And in the way that Jesus did it with Peter, he asked him, do you love me? And then Peter had to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that is my recipe, what I want to give to you today as well. If you've got any problems, let's say with your wife, tell your wife or your husband, I love you. And by saying that, you maybe have got a little bit of a difficult thing to say it. But once you start saying that and you repeat it a few times, it's helping a lot. Because immediately you're moving away whatever barrier is between you and that specific person. And that's awesome. I want to finish off with reading Psalm 13. David, the blue-eyed boy from God, had the same problem. He also was in a dip, and how he actually at the final end himself could see where was what was important. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Let those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. And then the but. I like those that word always in the Bible. Then if the but comes, then I know, okay, right, now things are going to happen. I have trusted in your mercy. And if you take a look at it, I, as for me, that's actually what is standing over there. As for me, I've trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. This is what's giving me joy, that you've saved me and that I can be your child. And I will sing to the Lord. We're going to do it forever and ever in heaven. And that's why we're practicing over here as well. Yolanda and Marco, I don't know if there's a band upstairs. If not, then you're going to play over there. But we're going to be singing forever and ever and ever. We're going to praise God for who he is, that he's so wonderful and that he wants to spend time with us. Because he has dealt bountifully with me. And bountifully, the word is good, because God is good. And we've been singing it in the beginning as well. God is good, and that's what we're doing continuously. We're worshiping God. I've been praying about it, and I'm going to ask you first to remain seated before I'm going to start. And I think we've got to go and ask God for more of the Holy Spirit in us. And I'm going to ask you to stand up. You can stand. Forget about all the people around you. Forget about all the other people in the room, because now it's between you and God. And I'm going to challenge you. Lift your hands. But lift your hands that you are like a top of a funnel, that God can pour the Holy Spirit into you. And if there's anything in your mind which is coming up and you say, Lord, this is blocking that you can fill me up, because this is blocking me, and now I cannot receive from you. Lord, I pray that you're going to reveal it to that person now, that a person can repent of it, that a person can chase it away, and that that blockage can be taken away, Father. That we can receive from you, the Holy Spirit, that we can receive more from you, that we can be received, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit can overflow out of our cup. I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to ask you, those who feel like it, to follow me in prayer. Heavenly Father, you're creator of heaven and earth. The relationship between you and us has been distorted. You've given your Son, Jesus Christ, so that that relationship can be restored again. You've given us the Holy Spirit, part of your Trinity, is inside us. We are the temple for the Holy Spirit. And Father, today we pray that you're going to fill us. We're asking for more. For more. For more. More of your Holy Spirit, Father. That we can reflect your glory in this world. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.